Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. We're here today with another special guest. We had a guest last week, got a very special guest this week. My daughter Rachel's in town, so I asked Rachel to join me on the program. Welcome, Rach.
Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, Rachel's my youngest. We have Debbie and I have four children. Rachel's currently living in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're, of course, here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Ave Maria Radio is here as well, and Rachel's home for a visit, but she's been doing a lot of exciting things just with friends in her area in St. Paul who are young men and women who are living as disciples, but also her work in the Minnesota Catholic Conference. So, Rachel, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about the nature of your work. What's the Minnesota Catholic Conference? What are Catholic conferences about? I know we spoke last year on the program and you mentioned this, but I think many of the folks who are here listening this morning may not have heard it. So,
sure. So Michigan also has a Catholic conference. There are many, many states that have a Catholic conference. So if you're listening in Michigan or another state, your state probably has a Catholic conference. So the Minnesota Catholic Conference is the public policy voice of the Catholic Church in Minnesota. So we're technically employed by all the dioceses in the state of Minnesota, and we work for the bishops to take the concerns of the church to the legislature in our state. So we work on state issues only, state policy issues only, and then every federal issue we defer to the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops. And so, like I said, you have one here in Michigan. So the issues that you'll work on here in Michigan are different than the ones that we'll work on in Minnesota. It depends on the state. So we have a pretty small staff. We have some full-time lobbyists. We have a communications person, and I do outreach for the conference. So I am out in the pews with Catholics in the pews trying to help people make a connection between the gospel and politics of why the church would have a role in politics.
Give us an example of the kind of thing that you communicate to people. When you go out, you meet with, who do you meet with? Just regular parishioners in a parish? And mm-hmm. What do you do with them? And what does that look like?
Yeah, so I think it really depends what area you're in. You know, we have a lot of different dioceses that are in a lot of different physical areas. And so I'm not being from Minnesota. I didn't realize how long and flat Minnesota was until I had to drive across it. And so going to college in the cities, I spent most of my time in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And so now getting out, basically every diocese is a different type of area with different type of people. So you have everything from farming communities to really outdoorsy communities. And so it really depends where you're at. You know, you could be in one place where I literally will just drive from parish to parish because there's one parish every 50 miles, you know, up near Canada in the Diocese of Crookston. You know, whereas if you're in the Archdiocese of Minneapolis-St. Paul, the kind of outreach you're doing looks very, very different. That's more of speaking at young adult events or going to things that are kind of already in existence. So the outreach and the people look very different based on where I travel to. And so usually what it looks like is I make a connection with somebody in the community, and then I'll go out there. What it's looked like this fall is I'll go out there and they'll host me with about 20 of their friends from their parish in their home. And we'll crack open a couple bottles of wine. We'll have some snacks and kind of have a little wine and cheese party and talk about why the church has a role in these things. I think the biggest thing for people is dispelling the myth of separation of church and state. People think, one, that that's in the Constitution, which it isn't, and two, that it actually applies to people of faith being involved in the public square, which it actually just applies to property. And so it's kind of giving people permission that as a person of faith, they're allowed to have opinions and be involved in these things in public, and they should.
Is there, what would be the typical kinds of topics you'd want to interest them in the state of Minnesota, for example?
Sure. So last year we did a bill, for example, that connected pornography and human trafficking. And so that was a big, last year in the state of Minnesota, it was the governor's last term, and so not much got done. But one thing that did get passed unanimously into law by the House and the Senate, which anybody who has not been living under a rock knows that unanimous votes almost never happen in American politics anymore. It was voted unanimously and then signed into law by Governor Dayton. And so that was a bill basically what we want to show people and what I'll show through explaining this bill is that any place where human dignity is being violated, the church is there. She has a hand there trying to help people. And so we look, and this is how I'm sure the Michigan Catholic Conference does it as well, and say, on a policy level, you know, what's happening with the poor in our community? What's happening with the outcasts in our community? What's happening with all of these people and all of these issues that the church should be concerned with? And how can we have a hand in helping human dignity in this area? So, for example, we wanted to do something on pornography. A handful of states have declared pornography to be a public health crisis in their state. And so we wanted to do something similar to that. But we also have a big, Minnesota is one of the, is in one of the top states for human trafficking, unfortunately. That includes labor trafficking.
What is human trafficking, for those who are listening may not know precisely what you mean?
Yeah, so human trafficking, it's kind of the umbrella term for really the buying and selling of a human being for a service. You know, so you have the number one type all across the world of human trafficking is sex trafficking. So whether that would be prostitution or you think of selling something like drugs, that's exactly what it is, but with a person. And then the person who is selling, the person gets the person back and gets to mm-hmm. sell the person again. So it's kind of, unfortunately, because of so many different things in the world, people have become the best commodity because they don't run out. And so we're at an all-time high across the world for human trafficking, particularly sex trafficking. And unfortunately, the state of Minnesota, that's a big problem there. I mean, you have the Mall of America, you have these different attractions that are really hot spots for people who go and kind of keep their eye out for people that they can traffic, usually young, vulnerable women. So we saw these two problems together, and so we brought them together, and what they were seeing is that there was a huge connection, almost a direct correlation between the two, between pornography addiction and between human trafficking, that actually pornography drove the demand for human trafficking. And so as the church, we're saying that's a problem. You know, we're identifying a problem that's a violation of human dignity. No person should be bought or sold. And so we say, how can we have a hand in that? Because wherever human dignity is being violated, that's our place to be. So that's an example of an issue that we work on. And we work on a lot of other issues as well, everything from, you know, poverty issues to immigration to anything that comes up that the church should have a voice in the state, we have a voice in. And so it's really giving examples and saying, look, this is where the church is. A lot of people don't know that the church is doing that kind of behind the scenes work.
Is part of your job to make coalitions then with other organizations that may not always be aligned together on different things, but you can find common cause mm-hmm. and you have to mobilize them together and then have a strategy in the legislature to help awaken legislators to the issue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, coalition building is really important in what we do. And you have people, it's cool to see people come together that can find common ground. And sometimes it's unfortunate, and people, because of certain things that the church holds, even if they agree with the issue, they won't find common ground with you. And so it's interesting to see both of those things happen. Yeah.
As you travel around the state, how do you see the pulse of the people's living faith? That's kind of a broader question.
Sure.
We're in a kind of a challenging time, you know, with the crisis in the church that's happening state to state. So
it really depends on where you go, on the places that you go. I think this fall I've traveled more to different areas of Minnesota than I ever have for my work. And it simultaneously has been the most discouraging and the most honoring experiences of my life, because you see sometimes in these little pockets, in these tiny, tiny towns, you encounter people who really are the salt of the earth, who day in and day out really are living their faith, who are, you know, they're farmers and they're working really hard and they volunteer on the weekends and they really are living their faith out. But the majority of the people, they're discouraged. You know, there's a lot of people who have been going to church for 50 years maybe, and they're still not really there with a relationship with Jesus. And these things coming out are really challenging for them because they don't necessarily have the bearings and the formation to be able to get their bearings in this kind of situation. And so it's been a combination of, you know, really amazing people who totally are on fire for their faith and for what we do, for people getting involved in politics. Hands down, the people who step forward and volunteer for our work and actually make their voices heard in the public square are the people that are like radically sold out about who Jesus is, are people who actually pray, are people who love Jesus, know who he is, go to Mass. But then you really see the need for the new evangelization. If you go into a lot of these places and a lot of the people who are filling the pews, they're not really sure why they're there. You know, because it's that maybe they've gone their whole life, or that's just what you do, or it's duty. A lot of it is duty based, especially for these people that are very hard workers and they've grown up in Catholic families. Just what you do, you go to church and this is our duty and we do the next thing, which there is some good to that. I think a sense of duty is something my generation has lost, but there's also a piece that's missing. And so I think people are having a very hard time finding their bearings and having their roots in Jesus and being able to trust him in all of this, in all of this difficult time.
Say a little bit more about that in terms of the larger crisis that's happening in the church is a kind of has a destabilizing effect on people. And you're talking about what you're seeing is the centrality, the central importance, the difference it can make when a person really has a living relationship with Jesus. Describe mm-hmm. that a little bit more. What do you mean by that? I mean, because people certainly who come to church have faith, and they have faith in God. They have faith in Jesus, the Son of God. So what? Expand on what you mean by that.
I mean, I think, you know, for example, there was one place that I went to. I had a meeting there, and the meeting basically turned into a big discussion about the crisis, because we were right in the midst of all of it coming out. And you have somebody that's in front of you that works for the church, and so you're going to want to talk about it, which is totally understandable. But I think there is, in talking to people, and honestly, even talking to people that I went to college with or who would say that they're disciples, I think because of maybe their particular formation, or take some of these dioceses, for example, they're far out, they're far away. And so you have some of these small towns where there's one parish and there can be an amazing priest, but he's working three parishes because there aren't enough priests to cover the different parishes, you know? And so just by lack of people, lack of resources, there's not enough formation for the people, for example. And so you see people that, you know, they're genuine people and they want to believe, but they honestly haven't been given the tools or the resources to really understand the fullness of what the faith teaches. And so when you hit something like this crisis, they know what their priests have told them. They know what they've maybe learned growing up in catechesis, but they've actually never been taught how to have a personal prayer time. They've never been taught how to read scripture, you know, how to really dive in. And so when something like this hits, they do have a faith in God, but also a faith in people who are really, who have formed them and shaped them. And so then there's nothing to fall back on in terms of knowing the promises of God and being consistent and being able to trust in those.
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Boy, this program went fast, Rach. Can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'd like to have you back, because at the end here, you're talking about tools and having tools to be able to, you know, withstand the tactics of the enemy, the battles that the church is in, the current crisis that's happening in leadership in the church, and how destabilizing that can be. Friends, drawing near to the Lord and knowing him and having Christ as the rock and the center, he said, I'm with you always till the end of the age. The end of the age is when he comes again in glory. So that means he's with us all the time. He's with us in the power of the Spirit. He's with us in his church. And the Lord wants you and I to be able to stand confidently in hope in him through difficult times. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.